James chapter 4, verses 13 through 17, we read, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boasting, All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, the him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." James here tells us that our life is like a vapor. Have you ever stood at, over the stove and looked at a boiling pot of water and wondered what happened to that steam? Where does it go? Where does that vapor go? If you did, you no doubt later learned that steam is a vapor that disappears as it becomes part of the air. You know, vapor or a mist, it is moisture that is diffused into the air, and so as it cools, it just becomes part of the air. No doubt you also learned other things that are like steam, that appear for a little while and then vanisheth away. In this life, we are prone to seek those things that offer security, pleasure, profit, and durability. But James points out here in James chapter 4 that even life, with its security, with its pleasure and profit and durability, is still a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. So if our very lives are subject to vanishing away, all those physical things that have to do with this life will also cease to exist. What a tragedy for any life to be lived primarily for vaporous things. Such a life can have no real lasting substance. The wise man Solomon in Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 14. Turn with me there. Notice what he has to say. Ecclesiastes 1 verse 14. He says, "I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirits." Another translation says that it is grasping for the wind. Vexation of spirit means you're grasping for the wind, grasping for that which cannot be attained. Living a life without God, as Solomon calls the life under the sun, live without desiring God, without following God, it's empty, it's worthless. You can't find any meaning in it. There's no substance in a life that is not lived for God. You know, there are some other things in our lives that surround us, and really every physical thing that surrounds us is like a vapor. It's vaporous in nature. It is temporary. It is not permanent. Things such as material possessions. You know, material possessions, they are just a vapor. You know, on every hand, we are rushed to be successful, to get more money, to gain wealth, you know, to gain prestige, to become famous or whatever. But if one is wealthy, you know, he's considered a success no matter what his character's like. You look at some of the people in Hollywood and some of the people that are, you know, prominent in our society, some of the wealthiest people, and you look at the lifestyles of those rich and famous, and you see that really many of them don't have a lot of great character, yet they're considered successful because of their wealth. And so, you know, a long time ago, Jesus said in Luke 12, 15, "A man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." He then went on to tell of a rich man who trusted in his riches while forgetting his duty to God. Look over in Luke chapter 12, beginning with verse 16. "And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. You know, we read of such warnings like this, but we don't seem to learn the lesson, do we? We continue to seek material things to the detriment of our souls. You know, why can't we learn the wisdom of 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 10, where Paul wrote to Timothy, where he encouraged him to not be seeking after wealth, to find contentment in the things that he had. He says there, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that will fall into will be rich, fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Yes, wealth is a vapor, and it cannot last longer than our lives here upon this earth. And many times it does not even last that long. You know, the wealthiest man that ever walked upon the earth put material things into their right perspective by saying in Matthew chapter 8, verse 20, foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. You know, giving up the riches of heaven. He was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might become rich, spiritually speaking. You know, he gave up the riches of heaven. He lived on earth without the material things that we all take for granted. Notice also in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. It says there, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You know, he tells us also in Matthew 6 and verse 20, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You know, spiritual things are the ones that will last. So Christians should look not at the things seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 18. Material possessions are like a vapor. Another thing that is like a vapor is popularity and the praise of men. They are vaporous. It is only natural to want to be loved and recognized. None of us will deliberately set out to make people dislike us. But sometimes we forget to put the approval or disapproval of other people in their proper places. When all people speak well of us, we need to be careful. You know, Jesus said in Luke 6 and verse 26, woe unto you, when all men shall speak well of you, for in the same manner did their fathers unto the false prophets. And so we need to be careful when all men speak well of us. Someone like that seems to be one who is going out of their way to be a people pleaser rather than a God pleaser. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. You know, flattery can lead us to compromise truth and principle in order to be popular. You know, it is said of some of the chief rulers of the Jews in John chapter 12, verses 42 and 43. It says there, nevertheless, among the chief rulers, also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogues. For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. What a terrible picture this portrays. They knew what they should do, but they refused to do it because their popularity might suffer. They might be cast out of the synagogue. They might not be receiving the praises of men that they once did. You know, lest we should become wise in our own conceits. Romans chapter 12, 16 says, "But be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estates. Be not wise in your own deceits." And so we need to be careful that we not become wise in our own deceit, that we don't deceive ourselves into thinking that popularity, the praises of men, is something that will last. Whenever we begin to think of ourselves as important, let us answer the questions that God put to Job. Notice with me in Job chapter 38. I'm going to read a number of questions that God proposed to Job. Remember, Job is questioning God, questioning why bad things are happening to him. And God appears to him in a whirlwind, speaks to him, it says, "And the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, or if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut up the sea with the doors, when it brake forth as it had issued out of the womb? When I make the cloud the garment thereof, and thick darkness a swaddling band for it, and break up for it my decreed place, and set bars and doors, and hitherto shalt thou come, but no further, and here shall thy proud ways be stayed." He goes on in that vein, talking about all the various facets of creation. Where were you when I did these things? Do you have that knowledge? Do you understand the complexity of everything that God has done, the power and the majesty of all that God has done? And of course, Job could not answer that. He had no answer. And he came to understand that he was nothing in significance compared to God. In Job chapter 42, beginning in verse 1, "Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no fault can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not things too wonderful for me, which I hear not, which I knew not." And so Job came to understand his place in relation to God. When we understand who we are and who God is, we understand our complete dependency upon Him. How can we be proud? How can we be boastful? If we will consider the majesty of God, we will have no room for pride. And the praise of men cannot sway us from the course that He wants us to walk. And 1 Corinthians 4, verses 3 and 4, Paul also said this, "But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you, or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self, for I know nothing by myself, yet I am hereby justified. But he that judgeth me is the Lord." You know, Paul faced a lot of criticism. There were men saying terrible things about Paul. Even his fellow Christians saying terrible things about Paul and his character, and yet he says, "You can judge me if you want, but God is my judge." He recognized men can say all kinds of things, good or bad, about us, but God is the one who is going to judge us. And so he says, whatever other people think is not important when compared to the Lord's approval. Man may disapprove, but if God approves, that's all that matters. And so popularity and fame and all of those things, they're like a vapor. The pleasures of sin are also a vapor. You know, Moses was confronted with a very difficult decision a long time ago. Should he take the side with his people Israel against the Egyptians? Or should he continue to act as an Egyptian against and act as the grandson of Pharaoh? He was faced with that quandary. In Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24 through 26, we read about the decision that Moses made and the reason for it. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. You know, sin is pleasurable. Some of them are. Some of the sins are pleasurable, or else people wouldn't do it. But we need to understand, as Moses understood, that it's just for a season. It's temporary. It's vaporous. The pleasures of sin don't last. They're only for a little while. The pleasure that comes from sin is a vapor that too soon is gone, and many times only remorse is all that is left. You think about Judas Iscariot. Here we know that the Bible talks about him. He was a thief. He carried the bag and he embezzled the money out of that bag of money that he carried. He must have had great anticipation as to the enjoyment and pleasure that he was going to get out of spending the 30 pieces of silver that was promised him for betraying Christ. But he never enjoyed the use of that money he obtained for betraying Christ. Notice Matthew 27 verses 3 through 5. There it says, "Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces to the chief elders and priests, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to it. And he cast down the money, cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself." He never enjoyed the fruit of his sin. He never got to enjoy that money. In fact, it caused him so much regret that he went and he took his own life. You know, Jesus warned that the cares and riches and pleasure of this world would choke out the word of God from a person's heart. And Luke 8, verse 14, in the parable or the explanation of the parable of the sower, he said, "And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with care and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection." You know, our prayer should echo the words that Paul wrote in Galatians 1:4, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. Yes, temptations are strong and frequent, and the devil will dress immorality in the most attractive garb that he can. But before succumbing to such temptation, think of your relationship with God. An hour after the sinful deed is done, a day after, or even a year after, and think about finally eternity. You know, no one denies that there can be pleasure in sin, but we need to understand it's only for a season, and that season is cut off too short. So don't give up your soul for a vapor that vanisheth away. You know, life itself also, life in this world, is also but a vapor. You know, people say, well, but we've got to make a living. You know, how often do we hear this as we try to exhort someone to give their lives to the Lord? Again, let's look again at James chapter 4. Again, verses 13 through 17. "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we'll go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." You know, we need to recognize that our lives belong to God. and we live only according to His mercy and His will. We must also recognize that we will all die unless we are one of the few that are here when the Lord returns. We're all going to die. Hebrews 9:27, as it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgments. Note also the writings of Solomon on this matter of death. Ecclesiastes 9:5. He said, "For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything, neither have they any more a reward, for the memory of them is forgotten." And then in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 7, he said, "Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it." So rather than build our hopes on a vapor that vanisheth away, material possessions, popularity, pleasures of sin, life on this earth, let us seek those things which are with substance. You know, living without God in our lives is vanity. In the Shakespearean play Macbeth and his wife, they usurp the throne, they murder the king, and they take the throne for themselves. And yet, those that were righteous, those that knew what had taken place, they came to destroy them, to defeat them, to replace them with the rightful heir of the throne. And as he is standing there at the end, about to go into the final battle where he is going to face the judgment of what he has done, he says this, "Tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow creeps in this petty pace day after day until the last syllable of recorded time and all our yesterdays have lighted fools the way to dusty death. Out, out, brief candle. Life is but a walking shadow, a poor player that struts and frets his hour upon the stage and then is heard no more. It is a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. We live our life without God. We're living for nothing. Our life is empty. Our life is worthless. Our life is like a vapor." And so let us seek those things which have substance. That which is eternal, that which is spiritual. Let us lay up our treasures in heaven where material things cannot affect them. Look at what Paul also wrote in Romans 8, verse 18. He said, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." He also said in Colossians 3, 1 and 2, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth." Peter tells us that material things, even this earth, will vanish away. 2 Peter 3, verse 10 says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." So this world and the material things are going to be gone, but the spiritual values are eternal. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, "For we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." And then the next verse says, "For we know that if our earthly house or this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." You know, that is no vapor, but it is hope with substance. Life on this earth is like a vapor. It's like grasping for the wind. It is vanity and vexation of spirits if we don't live it for God. It will only last for a short while, this physical life. So we must use this time to prepare for our eternal life with God, the life that will never end. We urge you this morning, if you have not been living for God in your life, we urge you to come to Him. Perhaps you're here this morning and you've never become a child of God. You've never become a Christian. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, if you are willing to repent of your sins, to confess His name, and to be baptized to have your sins washed away, you can become a Christian today. If you're here today as a Christian, but you haven't remained faithful to Him, you've allowed the cares and riches and things of this world to pull you away from Him, we urge you to come back. Come back to Christ. Come back to God. Today, if we can help you at all to come to know Christ better, to come to know His Word better, to become a child of God, or to repent as a wayward child of God, please, don't wait till later. Don't wait till tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow, because there may never be another. May never be another opportunity as you have right now. Today, if we can help you to respond to the Lord's invitation, let us know as we stand and as we sing.